Cool Tech 99, September 6, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutcon, your host for this edition of Blank Cool Tech. We're about to head off to work this morning. It's a nice cool morning here in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's pretty early. Let's see what time it is. You ready, little buddy? Get the arms off the closet door here. Darn it, the leash. Put the leash on Mr. Jakester's, huh? We're going to talk about digital rights management this morning. Isn't that right, little buddy? Fred's got this rug in front of the door all bunched up. Yeah, it's very cool out this morning. Must be in the probably 58, 60. Very nice. Do you ever notice how after you get through mowing the lawn it sounds different? That might be one of those imagination things too. Like with the smaller cans of soft drinks. But it seems like it sounds smoother or something. You know, there may actually be something to that because, no, hup up. Good boy. There's a dog across the street. Yeah, we're gonna go straight, little buddy. We're crossing Grinstead right here at Pleasant View. It's funny, you just leave a few minutes early. That's it. And the traffic is much less. But yeah, after you mow the grass, well, I mean, obviously it's easy to tell different sounds. Like when it snows, it's, you know, that kind of absorbs the sound. But I think when the grass is all the same length, it gives a different sound as well. Good boy, little buddy. Man, this dog is literally bouncing. It's been one of those. Good boy. I'm stepping blocking the sidewalk here. Ooh. Watch that, little buddy. Man, that was a good hit. Actually, that really was my fault. I should have stayed close with him. That's something you really have to watch out for when you... That's it. See, we're going around something here, too, and I'm staying close. When you... Come on. That's it. Parking on the sidewalk. Good boy. When you give your dog the initiative and he tells you something, you need to listen to him. And I wasn't. So he slowed down here again. There's something in the road. But then at the same time, they can start using that to sniff too if you don't watch them. Good boy. Start using that slow down technique and reach over there and grab them a little sniff of this or that. Whew, what a hill. What a hill. I noticed the other day when I was answering user or listener email, I think it was Tom maybe that wrote with three questions, and one was about the Yamaha mixer. And by the way, the show I did this morning, early, I think I might have solved that rumbling microphone problem by turning down the whatever that top knob is. I'm so technical on this audio stuff, because it's whatever the one is, and then you adjust the gain down at the bottom. So Rob was telling me you use that top one to kind of set the overall output for that channel, and then when you want to turn down or up the mic, you use that bottom one. Well, I set that top one about to the middle, and I think that solved that problem. So, pardon me for experimenting with you guys. Okay, we're on Frankfurt now, so you can tell there's a little more traffic, but not near as much. I mentioned to you the other day that I'm working from 7:30 to 4, so that I can walk home instead of having Shelly pick me up to watch Marley. Shelly has to work at 5, and I usually get home about 4:40, so good boy, that works out well. Anyway, I was answering these three questions, and I got sidetracked on the mixer and just ignored the other two. And they were, hey, one was, does the book port come with an AC adapter? And no, it doesn't. It doesn't even have a place for an AC adapter. It runs strictly on two AA batteries, which has got a lot of advantages. I personally, if we did another generation of Bookport, I probably would prefer to stay with that scenario. There's a lot of good reasons for it, and one of them is that, you know, you never have to recharge it. Batteries are inexpensive and universally available. So I know when I go on a trip, I just, you know, ensure that I have an extra set or two sets of batteries. And I know I'm good to go, no matter where I go. Then the third question was, what kind of sound card is in that new Sony Pentium dual core processor liquid cooled machine I got? And it's not anything to write home about. It's a lot better actually than the built-in. It's a built-in sound card. Realtek is what it shows up as. And I like it a lot better than the one I've got at work, because that one's so cheesy that I can't even make it clip. This one does. You hear it clipping, in fact, every once in a while with that bump noise. It also brings me to a question for you all. On this Sony Media Center, on the front of it, there's a video in and an audio in for left and right. And there is on the back, too. I have yet been able to figure out how to use those, though. There's not a selection for them in SMD Vol 32. So I don't know if software has to know about them especially or what. So if any of you other folks out there with a Media Center PC and those kind of jacks have used those successfully, definitely let me know. I assume they're mainly for, like, if you want to convert your movies, you connect the analog out of your movie camera or your VCR and the software takes them in, digitizes them. I hadn't tried any of that kind of software yet, but I was really hoping to use those RCA jacks for the to go out from the mixer into the PC. I mean, it's working fine the way it is now. It's just that those are better connections than a little 1/8-inch stereo jack. We had another good watermelon in the garden. This one got up to about the size of a basketball. Maybe a volleyball. And the dogs had actually left it alone. And I was looking at it Saturday or Sunday, and it had split. So I don't know what the heck that was about. So Shelly wanted to see what it looked like if we busted it open. Man, I really wished I had the recorder going and the microphones on, because that was a great sound. Just boom. That would have made for a good mystery sound. I was writing Rob about it. He's like, well, let's buy a watermelon and bust it. There's those good, the good bells. Let's see if we can get a good sound of the train here. I'm gonna move away from this audible traffic signal there. So those bells you can hear. They've also got some electronic ones though that you cannot hear. And see those too. You can hear those. Where the track crosses Frankfurt though, they replaced them with these, you know, it's not the clang inside the bell. And if I've told you this already, forgive me. Neighborhood. There's actually a lot of those houses and businesses on the other side of Frankfurt. All right, little buddy, we heard enough of it. We're so close, the train blast would be a bit disruptive. Sometimes I think they want to sneak through here. And you really have to pay attention when you're crossing up there, where you cross the tracks of Frankfurt Avenue. So I got a got an email that we read on this morning's show from Richard, who's a massage therapist, I think he said. That would be great to get some, let's listen to this a little more. Buddy, that'd be great to get some some career perspectives from different professions. In fact, I guess I could start out with one as a programmer. I'll do that, actually. That's a good idea. Man, I am loving these submissions that we've been getting. In fact, I know Robert Carter is working on another one as well. Now, there's a guy with an interesting career, too. That would be good to get, what would you call it, a career cast? A career overview? Impressions, you know, kind of for people that might be interested in that career.
Let's stop the tire shit here.
I don't know if that train is stopping. That's going to be interesting. For people that are interested in maybe checking out that career, kind of give some ideas about the education that's required and what a typical day might be and what are some of the challenges, especially as a blind person. There's the end of it. But these submissions we've been getting, up, good boy, are really, I think, what's going to make this medium be a totally awesome resource for, well, not just for blind people, but, you know, some good detailed interviews and sound seeing tours from different places. I know a lot of you out there have got some interesting places that are close to you. If you can get your family to submit to being recorded all the time. What is it Liz said yesterday on the Fraser Arms? Up. Good boy. Cast, she's no, or something. But I think she's resigned. She doesn't mind, actually. I think she has fun with it, too. She just doesn't like to let on. Yesterday, or this morning, or last night, I got up about 1:30 and couldn't sleep, so thought I'd knock out that user feedback cast, because I had a buildup of messages, and I knew it was going to take about an hour to get through that, but with the iRiver thing with Richard, Let me see if I can, maybe I can just say a couple things that might help. So when you, I'm assuming this Eye River is the 799's like the 899. So there's three buttons on the right. And I'm assuming you know how to get it on and to select the mode for the external mic. And when I'm in the mode for external mic on the Eye River, it automatically monitors the microphone even before you press the record. And it continues to after you press the record. So you're right, there's no indication that you're recording, except you can pretty well be assured that when you press the record, you are recording. So is that not the way it's working on the 799, or is it the fact that maybe you're not actually you don't actually have the external microphone? What'd he say? Frankfurt, okay. Let's press the button for viewing. Or is it maybe you don't have that mode selected? Good boy, little buddy. And selecting the mode, there's four of them actually in the 899. Good boy, fella. The first one is MP3, the second is FM, the third is voice for the internal mic, and the fourth is, it puts things in a folder called record. But it's essentially for the line in or the external mic. So the first thing to do is make sure that you're in the right mode. Now you don't get the monitor feedback on the voice part of it, which is using the internal microphone. And that actually, with the automatic gain control, that's not a bad mode at all. The microphone is, well, I still haven't determined whether it's recording in stereo. It's only got, as far as I can tell, one microphone on it. I just hadn't had time to check that aspect of it. But that's not a bad recording. It's just that I'm enthralled with this separation of sound, the binaural mics. You know, we've even talked about doing some surround sound type of things. But the equipment starts getting a little more elaborate when you do that. So, just in case you don't know it, Richard, the way to select these modes is to hold down the record button for a couple of seconds, and then you use the joystick up and down to go from mode to mode. And one thing I've found that's helpful is that I'll leave a recording in each of the folders. So I might, just so you'll always have something there to listen to. So in the record folder, that is where things get placed with the external mic, I might put, this is a test recording on September 6, 05. That way, when I play and I hear that, I know I'm in that right folder. Well, plus when you're not playing, you are able to hear the monitor through the from the microphones through the speakers. But good boy. Good boy. Yeah, what a difference in traffic this time of morning. So, if that is what the issue is with your $7.99, let me know. And like I say, you know, when you hit record, first thing you want to do is slide that lock switch on so you're not going to bump it out of record or anything, and just let it go and cut out the stuff you don't want later. Because it's too darn risky to pause it and resume it. And then at that point, you don't know, you really don't know where you are unless you just stop it. Man, like I was saying this morning, this Olympus DS2 would be the perfect recorder if, well, two things. If it had a lot more memory in it, and if you could turn that automatic gain control on and off. I mean, I like it being on, but there's times when you would not want it on. Digital rights management. This is a very passionate topic for a lot of people. And it's especially timely now as NLS is about to roll out their digital audio content. And a lot of the online music stores are offering items. Good boy. Hey there, how y'all doing? There's a lot of people that argue that all digital rights management does is inconvenience the honest user. And I can certainly see that. A perfect example. The other morning I was on the way to work, and Roseanne, one of our research assistants in the research department, was just getting out of her car, and she caught up with me, and telling me that she just had bought her children each an MP3 player. I believe it was a MPO. And she obviously wanted to be legal with the music. So she went to Walmart and bought a few songs for them. And they wouldn't play on this machine. Now, there was another lady at work that had some songs on a CD, and she sent those over, and they did play just fine. Up, up. Good boy. And I asked her to let me look at the manual for it. She seemed to think that it supported protected music. But that's just another example. You know, we're in a situation right now where I actually would love to buy all my music online. But I prefer the way it is right now to go buy a CD, because once I have that CD, I can rip that music and do what I want with it. You know, if you buy it online, you're stuck with playing it on this device or that device. And, I mean, I've already lost. Well, see, I bought that new Nora Roberts CD. Nora Roberts, excuse me. Nora Jones. Well, I can't even remember the name of it. It was the one after her first one. And I don't know where it is now. I mean, that's not really an issue with DRM so much. Well, yeah, it is too. Because what I had to do with that is to burn it to CD and then rip the CD so that I could do what I wanted with the songs. And of course, when you do that, you don't get the song names in CDDB. That was that thing I was telling you about the other day, which I'm sure most of you already know about anyway. So, it's just not only a major inconvenience, but this whole idea that, you know, I want to pay for this music. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I'd be willing to bet the majority of people realize that the artist needs to be paid, but... good boy. They don't want the inconvenience of being restricted. Now, I can see it on these places like with the Yahoo Music Service, where you're essentially, you know, right up front, you know you're renting songs, and you have access to a vast library. You know, it's not realistic to think that for $5 a month you're going to get, you know, all the songs you want. That's not compensating the artist for their work. But when I go to Napster or I hadn't tried the Walmart one. In fact, I guess the only one I've bought anything from is Napster. But when I go there, and I usually just end up buying the whole CD, which is usually around $10, which is not a bad deal. I want, obviously, to be able to play it on what I want to play it on, and I want to keep it. You know, I've got CDs back from when CDs first came out, and actually I've got a lot of CDs that I also had in vinyl and 8-track, and I've had to buy this media 2 or 3 times. That's not fair to the consumer either. So, you know, what's the happy medium? The record companies obviously are a little bit too paranoid to say you can buy an album for $10 that's totally unrestricted. I don't see that happening. If I'm wrong, I would love it. And if any of you know of anything like that, let me know. I'll be one of the first ones in line. Good boy. Jake just took me around my bus stop there. So those are just a few of the issues with digital rights management. I know Keith is on the digital rights management working group to define and implement some type of DRM for the new digital talking books. And there's a, you know, they have a list of some of the most important things about this, and one of them is to make it as transparent to the user as possible, and that is important. You know, like this case with Roseanne, it's not transparent to her. She wants to be honest. She wants to buy the music. She wants to teach her kids that that's the right way to do it. And she can't play them on there. You know? Maybe the technology is too immature to make it a reality, but let's face it too. You know, anyone that's really knows their technology knows how to get around this kind of stuff. I mean, if nothing else, you can play it on your computer and record through the line out. Or play it on your MP3 player and record it onto another one. I hope some of you have some thoughts and insights about that issue. It's been one that's been around for many years. And it's not going to be an easy one to solve. If you'd like to leave comments about this or any other topic, you can reach us on our comment line, 206-984-9203. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and we're on the web at blindcooltech.com. Good boy, little buddy.